All right, Yalla, let's start. Per Gimel. Achar Advarim Ha'ela. So we sort of ran through the last part of the Perek. Big Son and Seiresh. Big Son and Seiresh. Okay. So Big Son and Seiresh make an attempt at Achashverosh's life. And we're going to see how this attempt on his life is really going to alter the story going forward. Achashverosh is not the same Achashverosh anymore. Anyone, lo aleinu, we shouldn't have to experience this, but when your life is almost taken, you start to become a little bit concerned for your life, and maybe even you can get to places of paranoia, and that's clearly where Achashverosh is. Achar hadvarim ha'ele, gidal hamelach Achashverosh es Mordechai es Haman. First of all, who is Haman? Second of all, there's something missing here in the story. The last thing that we spoke about was Mordechai saving Achashverosh's life. So the Mestaber thing, the thing that would have made sense is that Mordechai would have gotten the job as to being Gidal Achashverosh es Mordechai. But no. And second of all, before we get to Haman. Haman, we know as Haman ben Hamdasa ha'agagi ve'inaseyu. So Haman is chosen, obviously, from Agag, from the family of Amalek. Vayasam es kiso me'al kol ha'sarim asher ito. In Persia, the way that the politicians would sit is that the king would sit on his throne, and then there would be seats, and the seats would be almost like in height order. And the higher you were up, the higher up you were, the more power you had. So Haman Kanireh was already part of the political party, but he was made the number two in the Likud. That's what happened, okay? Not the Likud, in Meretz, whatever. Anyone who got that political thing, okay. The Seder, so what happened to Mordechai? First of all, what happened to Mordechai? And second of all, there was a clear injustice done here. Second of all, who is Haman? And third of all, why the change of heart? Why is Achashverosh making this person, why is he giving him some sort of new job? Pasuk Beis is going to give us a little bit more insight as to the oddness of this position. The Chalavdei HaMelech Asher B'Shar HaMelech Korimu Mishtachavim LaHaman Ki Chein Tziva Lo HaMelech U'Mordechai Lo Yichra V'Lo Yishtachavim. Okay, before we get to Mordechai, everyone bows down to Haman. Everyone bows down to Haman, not because Haman asked them to bow down, but because the king says you should bow down to Haman. What's going on here? Why does the king want people to bow down to Mordechai? And what is Haman? What is his job? So, mistaber, that if it was Memuchan, so this is the way that some of the Farshim explain, is that Haman is getting this job because he was Memuchan, and he essentially suggested that he should go out and start this beauty pageant. But it doesn't really make sense to say that, because then why isn't he just called Haman back then? Meaning, if Haman is Memuchan, so then why don't we just say Haman's name back then? I'm not sure. I'm leaving that as an open question. I'm not really sure what the answer to that question is. But mistaber, that Haman is a new person that we don't know about. We hear about his yichus, and he is given this job. So there's clearly an injustice done to Mordechai that he is overlooked. The only thing that was done for Mordechai was what? He was written in the good book. But that's essentially worthless when this job opens up. But the question now is, why does the king make everyone bow down? Why? Why would the king want to take away from his power and empower another person? It doesn't really make any sense. So this is where the Malbim and others start to get a little bit into the head of Achashverosh, as if we weren't there already. Achashverosh is scared for his life. You understand, people tried killing him. They tried an assassination on him. So Achashverosh, and this is what we're going to see going forward, Achashverosh is terribly paranoid, terribly scared for his life, and so he wants to be out of the limelight. What does he do? He takes someone to essentially be some form of like a demi-king, Okay? He is going to have this position. He is going to be in the public light. He's going to go and do all of the press conferences. He's going to do everything. He's going to go around. Where is Ahasuerus? Hidden away. Where? In the Cheder HaPnimi. In a very, very hidden place in which we know that no one could come unless you ask all these crazy rules, right? What kind of rule is it? You can't walk in. 30 days Esther can't go. So there's clearly a paranoia going on, and why Haman is chosen. Kanireh, Haman is a charismatic person, but it's clear why at this point this is happening. This is happening, and therefore, why does he need everyone to bow down to him? Because they have to take him serious. They have to take him seriously. So Ahasuerus makes this person, makes Haman this demi-king. Yeah.
Is it possible, like, going off the theme that Ahasuerus, like, didn't really have any right to the throne, but kind of just took it? That, like, maybe Haman was a descendant of, like, some other king, so, like, that was, like, him justifying his rule?
It's possible. Chazal Davka say that, like, Haman was, like, some slave that Mordechai, like, owned before, so it doesn't really work with, like, Chazal's sort of frame of mind, but yeah. Was because he promoted Mordechai. I don't think there's not a promotion in the Psukim. I don't know. Let's take a look at that after. But let's go weiter. Either way, everyone's supposed to bow down to him. It's not even a kavodika thing for Haman. Obviously, after people start bowing down to you, it feels nice when people bow down.
Doesn't even say to bow down to Ahasuerus.
Right, right. That they should bow down. That they should bow down to Haman. Yeah.
Why, can you just leave it as it is? Why do you have to get so into Ahasuerus's
So why is
he had a guy who was a powerful guy,
and they should bow down to him, and he's gonna give away his signet ring just in a second.
Officers.
Right. But there's no one else. There's no one else. It's just the second guy. And why now?
Yeah, why now?
Why specifically right now? No, but what? Why right now? Why right now? Tov, let's go. Pasuk Gimel. Vayomru avdei ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech le-Mordechai. So Mordechai doesn't bow down. Why doesn't he bow down? Really, we could have avoided the whole Purim story without Mordechai. You know, he could have just bowed down. Why are you going against the rule? Every single day they would say the same thing. And why Mordechai was in the Shara Melech? He was going to check on Esther, and he had his own political position. So now already we start to understand why Mordechai isn't bowing down. It has something to do with him being Jewish. So an array of different opinions as to why he's not bowing down. Either it has to do with something with Avodah Zarah, that Haman made himself an Avodah Zarah, and therefore Mordechai thought that this was Yarig Val Yavor, or that he had some sort of amulet, some sort of necklace, which was an Avodah Zarah, and therefore he didn't bow down. Others suggest that this was like a national pride thing, that as Mordechai comes from the family of Shaul, it's not matim, it's not appropriate for him to bow down to someone that comes from Agag, that someone that comes from Amalek. And there's a variety of different reasons, and we're going to see that this question is really going to motivate our story going forward, trying to understand, maybe we could have avoided this whole thing. Yeah.
It's a little weird how he doesn't tell anyone else not to bow down. He just keeps it for himself. Why isn't he telling
the
other Jews not to bow down?
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't say that he doesn't. Maybe he does. I don't know. Meaning Haman's...
He's the only one that didn't bow down.
Bashar HaMelech. He's the only Jew in Bashar HaMelech. Right? He's the only one in Bashar HaMelech. Yeah.
Why did he say that he's a Jew? Didn't he
ask her not to say that she was a Jew? Yeah, but everyone knows that he's a Jew. I think they told... Right? It says... Vayikas, right, what does it say? Yeah, it says that the Avdei HaMelech. Okay, either way, we have a lot of questions here. A lot of questions. What exactly was Mordechai's motivation? That's going to be very important going forward.
Wait, it says because he
gila him. Mordechai ki gila him asher hu yehudi. Either that, right, nachon. So we have to think about that. Meaning, why is he saying? So I guess the way that you can understand the pasuk is that he said that the reason that I'm not bowing down is because I'm a Jew. Mordechai Mistama, also, have you ever seen a kid's book? He like had a beard and a nice large kippah, right? So he looked Jewish. It wasn't like, it's probably, it was the Rosh Sanhedrin. He knew all the languages. So like Mistama, he looked Jewish also. Yeah. Right, nachon. Okay. So let's go. So until now, Haman didn't have a problem with people not bowing down to him because he didn't have this position. But as soon as someone gives you power, and as soon as there's a rule, so it starts to feel nice. I'm very machped. I tell people, and I'll tell you guys also. I heard a story once. I don't remember who it was from, but there was one Rosh Shiva that told his Talmidim that when he would walk into the classroom, that he said that you shouldn't stand up because it makes me feel like a little bit kavodik. So Haman felt that kavod when people stood up or bowed down, right? And he feels very angry with this. Vayivez beinav lishlach yad b'mordechai levado ki gidulo es am mordechai vayivakesh haman lashmid es kol hayudim asher b'chol malchus achashverosh am mordechai. What happened? Okay, one guy not bowing down. All right, let's kill the entire Jewish people. There's something missing here. And I think the magical understanding or the key to understanding this is understanding the word vayivez. What does vayivez mean? It comes from the lashon of bizayon. What's the bizayon? The bizayon is what? Haman doesn't, we're going to say it in two different ways. A, Haman, it's a bizayon that Haman's getting like so like inflamed by this one guy who's not giving him kavod. It's a shtickle bizayon, right? So what does he do? He's so embarrassed by this one Jew not doing this thing. So what is he going to do? He's going to kill everyone. He's going to kill everyone. Kill all the Jews because it has something to do with their Jewishness, right? I don't have to say that it's something that has to do with my insecurity. Rather, I'm going to make it about the Jewish people. It's something with the Jewish people. I don't like the Jewish people, so I got rid of it.
Why is that? Because of Mordechai? Because of one Jew?
Yeah, because he's embarrassed. He doesn't want to make a big deal about one guy not bowing down.
It's not about Mordechai. The whole reason why Mordechai won't bow down is because he's Jewish.
Right, nachon. So once again, so then what does that word vayivez mean? It says vayivez beinav lishloach yad b'mordechai.
The fact that there's a nation, the whole essence will be not to bow down to him, represented through Mordechai.
So then what, but you have to explain what the pasuk means. What does that mean? Vayivez beinav lishloach yad b'mordechai. For some reason, he didn't want to kill Mordechai. Why didn't he just kill Mordechai? So that's one way of saying it. One second, Sam. The other way that we're going to say it is a little bit different. And vayivez, I think this is the way that some of the mepharshim say, is dafka a lashon of pachad, a lashon of fear, that Haman is scared. What is Haman scared of, guys? He's the second in charge. He's the second a king. What is he scared of? He's scared of Mordechai. He's scared to death of Mordechai. Why? Chazal say that he was like his master, but that's not pshat. What is he scared of? Mordechai just saved the king. Imagine what it looks like, Chevra, if he goes and he kills Mordechai. It looks like what? That he's coming for the king. Oh, I'm going to take out all the people. I took out Big Son and Seiresh. They're done. Now I'm going to take out Mordechai. It's written in the book. He knows by Yivez. He's scared. So what does Haman do? He makes this concoction, he makes this plan that essentially it's not going to be against Mordechai, it's going to be against the Jewish people. No, it doesn't have to do with Mordechai. Ah, Mordechai got killed? Well, it wasn't something personal, so then it's never going to come back to me that what? It's never going to come back to me that I had something against Mordechai. I don't have anything against Mordechai. Something against the Jewish people. Okay, let's go back to you want to ask something? Yeah. Right. But then why doesn't he kill him? Like,
it sounds like,
I'm saying this sentence sounds like that this is a reason why he doesn't kill Mordechai. Vayivez be'inav lishloach yad b'mordechai, there's some sort of bizayon which is making him avoid killing Mordechai.
You can go back to
back to the thing about Mordechai being his master.
Right, right. No.
Sure.
Because he's a little bit embarrassed. Okay. Anyways, let's go weiter. Either way, a few different readings of what exactly happens here. B'chodesh harishon hu chodesh Nisan b'shnas shteimesre l'melech Achashverosh. The story started when? In the third year of Achashverosh. When does the party happen? In the third year of Achashverosh. When does the searching for the women, when does Esther take in? In the seventh year. So we're talking about 5 years down the line. She's married to Achashverosh for five years. Okay? For 5 years. This happens in the fifth, in the 12th year. And this is essentially where the entire crux, or the ikker part of the story happens in the 12th year of Achashverosh's rule. So Bishnash Demasra Lamelch Achashverosh, he peel poor hu agoral ifnei Haman, miyom liyom, mechodesh lechodesh, shneimasar, hu chodesh adar. Now, very often when we think of Haman, we think of like this evil, sort of like not believing in God sort of person, but that's clearly not who he is. He obviously believes in something. He believes in some sort of some sort of higher powers, and therefore he makes a goral. Why does he make a goral? A goral, he wants to find out the best time according to his black magic to take care of the Jews, because he realizes that the Jews, you know, like he has family history. You don't mess with the Jews unless you dafka come at a time which they're weak. You dafka find a time in which that's a malek, right? Like, right? Asher karcha baderech. That one. Yeah, but at the same time, they went after the weakest people. Right, and specifically they were powerful, but they were nothing. They had just come. They were slaves. They had nothing. So Davka, it's always looking for the weakest time, and therefore he's looking for the weakest part of the year. And he comes to Chodesh Adar, and he says, "Wow, Chodesh Adar, there's nothing going on in Chodesh Adar." Right. Not only that, but Chodesh Adar. What happens to Chodesh Adar? Moshe Rabbeinu dies. But what did he? I guess he didn't do his history. Search and Moshe was also born. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Maybe the reason why, like, Homer is introducing me only is because it's 5 years later. Maybe they'll just leave things out because this is 5 years after the last passing.
Right.
It's not going to go through everything that happened 12 years after Shay's rule, just skipping to the bigger points of what's bringing us to the main part of the story.
And therefore what?
So when they introduce Haman, they just, like, certain things that Megill just seems to be left out is because, hey, they left it out.
Right.
It wasn't right. Important enough to be written
out. Okay, fair point. Yeah. Okay, Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Haman l'melech Achashverosh. So now Haman comes with his great plan. Now take a look at the plan. Yeshno am echad, mefuzaru mefurad bein ha'amim. There's this one nation. They're sort of spread out sporadically throughout your different empire. Their religion is different than any other nation. Okay, they don't follow your rules. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for you. It's not worth it for you to keep them around. So great offer. You ready for this? He says, there's these people, they don't follow your rules, they don't keep your taxes, they're different than everyone, they're spread out sort of like Bedouins all over the place. Not kedai for you to keep them around. I'll take care of them, la'abdam. Right? I'll get rid of them. And I'll even pay you 10,000 shekels. That sounds like a pretty good deal. You know what's interesting is that Haman never says who he's talking about. He doesn't say, Yeshno am Yehudi. He doesn't say that it's the Jewish people. And then the question that we're going to have to ask ourselves is, does Achashverosh actually know what he's signing here?
Maybe he knew that Esther was Jewish and he didn't want...
Who, Achashverosh?
No, Haman.
Haman knows that she's Jewish.
He didn't want Achashverosh to, like...
Could be, but she it seems like until now that Esther has kept it secret, and it can't be, because at the end of the Megillah, when like she says that she's Jewish, like his jaw drops, right? Okay, so he once again, there's a lot of unclarity in this indictment of these people. There's no name, there's no details, And the key word here is, I want you guys to pay attention, is the word la'abdam. What does la'abed mean? La'abed means to get rid of. To get rid of. Vayasar ha-melech es tabaso me'al yado, vayitna la'aman ben hamdasa agagit sorer ha-yehudim. Okay, the king takes off his signet ring. He gives him essentially full power to do whatever he would like. I'll make it even sweeter for you. You know, you can keep the money. And it's kedai. It sounds like it's a good deal for me. Vayikru, and I'll take a question in a second. Vayikru sofri ha-melech b'chodesh ha-rishon, b'shlosha asar yom bo. Vayikasev kecho asher tziva ha-man el ha-chashtar panei ha-melech ve'al ha-pachos asher al-medina u-medina ve'al sarei ha-am ve'am. Medina u-medina kichsava ve'am ve'am kilshono. So they sent this out to... every nation, b'shem haMelech haChashverosh nichtav v'nechtam b'tabas haMelech with the signet ring, v'nishloach svarim b'yad haratzim al kol medinos haMelech. Take a look. There's a difference here. Lahashmid, laharog, ulaabed es kol haYehudim min arvad zakein taf v'nashim b'yom echad b'shlosha asar lachodesh nemasar uchodesh adar u'shlavam lavos. The girsa change is slight, but it is so impactful. Okay, what is the difference between la'abdim? All the Mefarshim point out is la'abed can mean many things. I'll get rid of them. I'll send them to Uganda. I'll be a galus. Whatever. I'll take care of them. I'll make sure that they start following the rules. I'll impose a tax. I'll make them slaves. He doesn't say anything about genocide. He doesn't say anything about killing people all over your different country. Ahasuerus is a smart person. Right? He wouldn't agree, not let alone, he wouldn't agree to just, to a genocide, to start a rebellion throughout his entire empire. That's not really a good idea. Imagine start killing people all over your, throughout the empire that you just started. It's also not the Persian way, guys. Right? The Persians didn't do that. That wasn't their shita. But Haman, in his trickful way, essentially, says, la'abdam, it's not really, and it's not really kedai, I'll take care of it. So when Ahasuerus takes off his signet ring, it's not clear that he even knows the implication of what he's doing right now. Okay? Not only that, but if we go weiter, you want to ask something? Okay. When we take a look at Pasuk Yedalin and take a look at over here, this is a very, very, very unclear Pasuk. Padshegen haksav li nasein das bechol medina o medina galui lecho ha'amim lios atidim lehayom azem. So what does Padshegen Haksav mean? Padshegen Haksav means some sort of copies of a letter to tell every nation and every country that they should be ready for this day. Should be ready for this day. Haratzim yatzu tchufim b'dvar ha-melech v'adas nitna b'shushan ha-bira v'ha-melech v'aman yashvu lishtot. Everything goes out. The king and Haman sit down for a lachayim. Va'ir Shushan Navocha, and the city is like a little bit troubled. Va'ir Shushan Navocha. The Malbim says something unbelievable. And he answers a lot of questions. Where are we holding in Nisan? When is the Gzera for? Adar. How many months is that? 11 months. Okay, it's a long time. Now, what's the question that we should have? Shouldn't the Gezerah have been for like next week? Or like, okay, you know, they have to send it across the world. So a month, 2 months. Why would you want to do it as quick as possible? Firstly, you can't retract it. What else?
They can't rebel.
So that the Jews aren't going to rebel. Imagine you were to find, okay, Kristallnacht is coming next month, at the end of the year. Imagine what a noise the Jews would have made, right? Can't imagine what rebellion would have happened. Doesn't make any sense. 11 months ahead of time to say that the Jews are going to be killed. There's no rebellion. There's nothing. Va'ir Shushan Navocha, what's going on over here? So the Malbim says that there were two letters. He reads it into the Pesukim. We're not going to get into the Dikdukim of the Pesukim. But he says that there were two letters sent. The first letter was an open letter. The open letter says, like, Pachegan Aksav. Everyone should be prepared. For this day, there's going to be war. There is going to be war. Everyone should be prepared. No one knows what the war is. No one knows who the context of the war is. Who are we fighting against? Maybe we're fighting against the Greeks. Maybe we're fighting against a different empire. No one knows who we're fighting against, but everyone's getting ready. Tiu Mukhanim. In the second letter, which is stamped by the king with the signet ring of the king, is a stamp that says you cannot open this letter until that day. Until that day. And when essentially what he does when Haman does this b'chachma is that no one knows. Everyone's getting ready. They're sharpening their swords and they're getting the armies ready. But no one knows, and the Jewish people l'chora don't know at this point either. Right? So when it says about Yir Shushan Avocha, it should have said that if the Jewish people knew at this point, Vayir Shushan, everyone's going crazy. But Vayir Shushan Avocha means like people are like a little bit down, like they're saying like, oh, there's something, they're expecting something, but they don't really know what to expect. And I think that solves a little bit of the issue of like, where is the rebellion? And one last point, then we'll take questions, is that when Ahasuerus sits down with Haman to drink, so the Maharal says like it's pashut that why they're drinking is because they can't even deal with their guilt, like they were just gozer din mavis to all of these people, they can't sit with themselves. The Maharal says so they went to drink, but bepashtus Ahasuerus doesn't really know what he just did. The fact that he was able to sit down and have a lachaim after he just essentially said that all these people are going to be killed is weird. Not only that, but it's clear that Ahasuerus doesn't even know what's in the letter itself. Laharog, la'abed, right? Ahasuerus is totally out of the picture. Why is he totally out of the picture? He's totally not involved in any politics. He hasn't left his inner room for anything. Everything happens in that inner room. Right, Esther. Later on, when we're going to invite them to parties and so on, everything happens there. He has no idea what's going on. Yeah, let's get a few questions. Yeah.